next talk is by Alexander Nachimovsky about software tools. And
good morning. My first pleasant responsibility is to acknowledge the support of National Science Foundation and help and advice we received from a number of people listed here. I know that they include both Han Slushis, I believe, pretty close Slushis, who is the creator and maintainer of Elan, and Jason Naylor from Summer Institute of Linguistics, who has been developing and keeping, maintaining the XML schema for Flex text. This is the outline, and I will explain why it makes sense to integrate the development in Flex and Elan, and why it is difficult, because the two programs have vastly different philosophies, and so there are things that one program cannot do and the other one can, and vice versa. At this point, I should probably mention that I will, in the course of my presentation, say that this program cannot do that. But before I do all this, let me express my deepest, profound respect for these two programs. They are powerful, extremely powerful tools that make many things possible that would not have been without. So, one consequence of this difference in philosophies between the two programs is that you can't simply say, okay, this is an Elan project, this is a Flex project, let's merge them. What we discovered we can do is concentrate on specific workflows, doing things in specific sequences, and exchanging information between the projects. And that's what I will describe. In the end, I will also outline the path to how, after you have done your work in Elan and Flex, you can, in some systematic way, move towards creating community materials. So the programs, I'm probably speaking to very knowledgeable people here, but just a quick reminder. Flex allows integrated development of the lexicon and the corpus, but doesn't know much about multimedia and doesn't have a timeline to work with. By contrast, Elan has a timeline and powerful tools for scribing and time alignment of multimedia, and then building the interlinear gloss text with time alignment information in it. That's where the two programs interact. Both of them produce interlinear gloss text. And that's what we concentrate on, to somehow find ways of enriching the same interlinear gloss text in both programs. I will use the Elan terminology of tiers, which is levels in the tree. And Elan is very libertarian in its outlook. Have as many tiers as you want, name them whatever you want. Just make sure that you know how to express whatever linguistic content you want to express. And they call this property of the tier, its type, they call it the linguistic type. And of course, many people do call them things like part of speech. But in principle, there's nothing that tells you it has to be about linguistics, it can be about anything. Flex, on the other hand, is much more constrained. It tells you, you shall have these tiers, and they will be named such and so. And if you don't like it, you have to use another program. Of course, there is no other program that can do amazing things that Flex can do. So people do. another difference in the same vein is in the use of controlled vocabularies. Elan provides an option of using controlled vocabularies and has machinery to go to data categories registry and bring in the controlled vocabulary from there, but it's totally up to you. Flex, by contrast, has the controlled vocabulary of morpheme types, something you will find in any linguistic textbook on morphology, built into the schema. So you have to use specific morpheme types. And it also has this notion of items that are also in specific predefined types, such as text, or gloss, or part of speech, and so on. So as my colleague likes to say, Elan is like a Lego, and you can build anything out of them, and Flex is like a piece of architecture, and you have to live in it. It's a well-designed, beautiful piece of architecture, but you have to find how it fits you. We first kind of became involved with this a couple of years ago, based on the NSF grant. So in 2009, my colleague implemented a partial import from Flex into Elan. At that time, there was no way to import anything into Flex. When Flex 7 came about, which was a major redesign of the program, it provided the import opportunity and also new additions to the XML schema implemented by Jason Naylor that provided slots for inserting the LAN information, media type, media file name, time offsets, and a globally unique identifier, GUID. And of course, GUIDs are very helpful because when you have some piece of data to that you move from Flex into Elan, you do something with it, and then you want to bring it back and to make sure that it's the same thing, while everything might have changed. You know, it's theoretically, it's like this Greek ship that replaces all its parts but remains the same ship. So you change the content, you change the initial time, whatever, but it's the same thing, and that's where GUID are essential. That's what these new additions to the schema look like. Basically, it says that there's a new attribute, and its name is media file, and it's just text. I should say that these things probably would have appeared later than they did, because without our persistent nagging of the silly stuff. So, to recapitulate, there are profound differences between the philosophy of the programs. There are things that Elan can say and Flex can't. On the other hand, Elan cannot say about a tier in the tree what language that tier is. This is going to change, but for the time being, this is something that we had to deal with. So the strategy we adopted is that we have something like an interlingua into which we translate the information from one program to the other program, and then each program extracts from it whatever it can understand, and what it can't understand, it just ignores. The interlingua is a language of triples, subject, relation, object. And of course, people will be probably reminded about the semantic web and the triples there. We do not use the language of the semantic web, but whatever representation we do use is easily translatable into that. The semantic web, just to mention it briefly, its strength is that once you have logical assertions, a body of logical assertions, you can do inferences. We do not use inferences at this stage of our development, but eventually it may be helpful to be able to run some kind of inferential engine on your body of data from the two programs and see what you can discover. So specific workflows are Elan to Flex, or Flex to Elan with some additions, or around trip. This is the example of triples along the way. So this says, I'll just read a couple of the first ones. It says, an annotation with the ID 1255A1255 in Elan has the value and then some literal string, in this case in Russian. And then there are links to the next annotation, and then annotation IDs, and then time slot reference is, again, the one thing where every time slot is a first class object that has its own ID. Now, the flex text also translates into triples, and these are actually, if you kind of look at them, it's a straightforward encoding in triples of a tree, of the XML tree, because it has tag name. It says, there's this ID, A underscore whatever, and its tag name is such and so, it's paragraph here. The apos is just simply means apostrophe or single quote. And then it has a globally unique identifier. That's how they look, huge, ugly hexadecimal numbers. Then for each thing in the tree, there's the next sibling and the first child, and that's how you traverse the tree. So all of these triples are thrown together into one big graph that has three entry points. If you want to extract LAN information, you enter at the EIF entry point, or flex text, or tier patterns. And tier patterns is what creates connections between flex data and LAN data. I mentioned the LAN stereotypes that are that have to be communicated to flex. So just as a reminder, the parent-child, the only constraints on parent-child relationships is that they have to be one of these four. Symbolic association, think of word and its part of speech, no further subdivision. Then there can be symbolic subdivision or time subdivision, symbolic without separate time alignment for children, and time subdivision if you, in addition to having time alignment for the phrase, you provide time alignment for each word. And finally, if you want gaps, then you say included in. So this is what patterns look like. Patterns, as I said, establish correspondences between flex data and the LAN data. So the first three lines, and the division into lines is artificial, so just one big thing. The first three lines give the ID for the pattern, and the next pattern, and the next pattern. There aren't that many of them. Then the first four lines is The description of the LAN data, and it says that speaker, and it gives the name of the speaker, and you will notice that this repeats in this part of the pattern and in here. A problem is spoke. This is the flex data. This is the LAN data. And it says that the name of the parent tier, by naming convention, is the name of the speaker. We found this useful convention to use. It can't be changed, but that's what it is. So it says the parent tag is phrase, and then type is TXT, which is textual content, and this is the language. In LAN, we say that this is a normalized transcription tier, and that it's a symbolic subdivision of the type is symbolic subdivision. So the first control thing is there's a very specific pattern of tiers in the LAN that we can work with, and that is there's a parent tier that is directly in the timeline and doesn't have the linguistic pattern, the stereotype is just default. It has a child tier which is a normalized transcription, and that was the suggestion of the linguist, that sometimes it's helpful to have the raw transcription normalized depending on what you want to do, but it can be just a copy if you don't want to normalize anything. And it's this normalized transition, transcription tier that is unique for each speaker, right? It carries the name of the speaker. And then there are any number of gloss languages that are symbolic association child of normalized normalized transcription. So the normalized transcription inherits time alignment, and each time alignment unit corresponds to a phrase in flex. And then there can be any number of gloss children that do not break the time alignment in any way. So the user has to provide the language for each gloss tier, provide the language of the gloss, and the program outputs the flex text file that then can be imported into the flex, and word and morphological, lexical and morphological analysis can be performed. So the result is a flex project with a media file and time alignment information. Now the other use case you can say that we had was a flex text that has no time alignment or media file information, and the skeleton LAN that has already time alignment imported from prod. So the linguist worked with flex and prod and created the time alignment in those two different programs, and then used the LAN to bring them together. Again, the result of this is that you have the Elan project with all the flex information, and then you have the back in Elan, you get the word and morphological analysis from flex. And as part of it all, at some point, you move the time alignment information from Elan to flex, and this can be repeated. So in other words, it's possible to readjust time alignment in Elan and re-import and do this in a certain kind of a loop. The most complete workflow that we support is, again, you start with Elan with this minimal arrangement I described, top tier, normalized transcription, and then any number of glosses. And then you bring it all into flex, you do morphological and lexical analysis, and then you return the entire information back into Elan. So basically we have three things, not two. We have information in Elan, information in flex, and this huge graph that contains cumulative information. And this cumulative information can be saved and retrieved as a way of preserving the session state of the system, right? So you've done all this work, saved it. Next time you start again, the information from both programs is available there. And we don't yet know how to use this large body of assertions. We suspect that it might be useful perhaps even for conditional universal search research or something. But certainly we end up with the corpus and the lexicon. And once we have that, we can think about a systematic way of transforming this information into community materials. Now we make certain assumptions. We don't know how accurate in general these assumptions are, but the two main categories of social of community interests are language and culture and social networking. Somebody told me that Facebook is in fact quite popular in many local communities. So, and we want it to be in the browser because that's where social networking is, and that's the browser is a platform that allows you to do immersive things. So, we want a dictionary and time-aligned, annotated multimedia in the browser on the cell phone. So, and this is my last slide. So, this is what we would like to produce almost automatically from the accumulated Elan Flex body of materials. A web-based dictionary from Flex in HTML5 and JavaScript. Everything is HTML and JavaScript, so totally portable wherever there is a browser. We already have a multimedia player that knows how to work with time alignment. You can replay the same segment, you can navigate by segments, and so on. We have automatic procedure for converting Elan materials, which is straight XML, into HTML5 the way we want it, and Lyft, which is the dictionary format of Flex, also is convertible. And all of this can be a web application that can be played on the Android. Thank you.
Myself since I'm the moderator. So you said that there's a session state saved, which means that whatever, if I work on Elan on a text, if I work on Flex in a text, I run the file that I have created afterwards through the system. Yeah, is that the way it would practically work?
Oh, well, you run a LAN and you run flex, and then, well, let's say, you run a LAN, you do some work in the LAN, then you use a transformer to move things into flex. At this point, you have some body of material in the LAN, some body of material in flex, but neither of those is a complete, right? So there's this third body which completes the picture. And when I said that it's like a saved session, you can resume your work in either program, basically. That's what we would like to achieve.
If I'm understanding the situation correctly, then you, when you resume that work, you'll have to do a remerger of information to that third body, which basically embodies the relationships between Elan and Flex. So you have to re-export from Flex.
Yeah, if you make changes in the LAN, you do another merge. If you make changes in Flex, you do another merge. Right? And each merge extends and updates the graph. Yes.
I'm John Hatton. I think we've met over email with SIL International and early designer of Flex. And I just want to publicly say thank you for nagging, as you, I think that was your word, and to say to us as a community, when you're making free software, how do you know what to do next, right? Not nobody's going to give you any money, so it's the people that are willing to nag that help us know what to do next. At your urging, we learned about this system, and we learned about ontologies in general, with this dream, kind of your knowledge graph that we all share, and we got very excited about it, but realized practically we probably can't do that. Are you comfortable with there being this external knowledge graph that different programs fit into, even though individual programs may know nothing about it?
I'm comfortable. I mean, I just don't know how else to do it. I can't hope that you will bring a LAN functionality into Flex, and I don't think Han will bring Flex functionality into whatever. But for now, I think it's a reasonable way to proceed. Yes?
Yeah, Sasha, yeah, thank you. It's really exciting, all of this. And I'm kind of, I'm from the user end and from the community end. I've been trying to envision how this actually practically could work in terms of a mobile device, right? And someone
mm-hmm.
wants to get access to the materials of the corpus or the dictionary,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
ultimately maybe both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, how much flexibility is there for now that this is being, as this is being developed, for the user who wants to go from finding a word and listening to it on the mobile device to actually going to a text where that word appears, still in the mobile device, and say okay, and then wanting to hear the whole story, say, how feasible is that kind of?
This does not yet exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I can just wave hands.
Yes.
But in principle, there's nothing. This is not new technologies, right? All the links are there. There are in Flex and in LAN. So it's just a matter of taking all this information and making it into a website, right? And then the functionality you described, given the word, find its occurrences in the corpus. Yeah, that should be doable. Yes.
I want to follow up with his question. Why couldn't you update the Flex and then just have it automatically update the LAN?
You mean just sort of run the program without having the user click on some button, right? Well, I don't know. It depends. That's something that will depend on the user response and suggestions. It seems a little scary. to me, just to automatically, I don't know. But in principle, yeah, you, there's no, yeah, with the exception of providing the initial languages for the tiers, there's no user intervention, no user control of the transformation process.
Have you put any thought into, or has there been any discussion about, you talked about mobile devices, have you put any thought into using mobile devices as input in some way, like to record original data and any kind of, for that role? Like it seems to me, you were talking about having a website which could be accessible on a mobile device, or an app version of a
right,
website.
We saw our task is bringing together Elan and Flex.
Yeah.
Both are huge desktop programs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's where we saw data coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand that there is very interesting work on native speakers, local communities entering dictionary information into mobile devices. But that's not what we have been doing.
Right?
I don't know how, whether it will be possible to build a path, but it will have to be a path from a mobile device to a web, some kind of web storage, into Flex. Right? And that's a big job. I think John Hatton is something
the
to
man
say about
sitting
this.
Next to you afterwards is kind of an expert in this, so you're in the right place. Talk to Florian.
Yeah, I know Florian.
Okay.
Two short comments on the debate. This is great work, and I'm really happy to see the advance of getting those big, great tools together. One first comment. In an email conference in 2002, when a very early version of Flex was presented, the huge reaction of the audience was, well, but why doesn't support it multimedia support and time codes and so on? So it was not for the lack of nagging 10 years ago or something. But anyway, so I'm glad that it is now there. And the other comment is that you said that Elan would probably not have the Flex functionality. Well, it doesn't have yet. But we are working, in fact, on a framework where you can plug in computational linguistic methods, not just Flex-like or toolbox-like splitting and glossing or so, but other computational linguistic methods which are out there, and we would like to bring them into the world of language documentation so that you can start to use computational linguistic tools on understudied languages using Elan. And Flex is one of the possibilities to interact with other tools in that domain.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
On your data stores of the multimedia file data stores, if I understand, when you're working with the corpus of Elan data, then you're probably going to organize your files a certain structure, and that is going to be different than if you have like media files that are imported to Flex. So in your work, how do you arrange your media files?
The media files don't move, so to speak, and in fact, Flex, as of now, has no way to play the media file. It may be coming, I don't know. So, in that sense, we just pass the information with a text string, and that's all we do.
And I came in late, so maybe it's what you started with. But this application that merges, that does this, what is it called? Is it?
We call it Flaylon.
If I Google Flaylon, I can get it and start using it. Or?
No, not yet. A couple of months.
Okay.
Thank you.